Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma therapists, if you've been waiting for the right time to join Trauma Therapist Network membership, this is it. Between now and the end of 2024, you can save up to 50% off of your first month of membership when you submit your application at traumatherapistnetwork.com. Join us for live calls every week. Self-care, case consultation, networking, and training are included every month. We have 4 live calls, and we have 3 tiers of membership. If the live calls don't fit your schedule, you can join the inner circle, where you can access the library of recordings, or you can do the Listing Plus membership. All the details are at traumatherapistnetwork.com. Hope to see you in the community. Submit your application at traumatherapistnetwork.com today.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 463.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and in this last episode of 2024, I'm bringing part 2 of my conversation with Debbie Jenkins-Frankel, LMFT. We talked about her practice specialty, grief, and as I'm going through a grieving process now with one of my parents, my father passed away. I really wanted to talk about it with Debbie because she's so knowledgeable on this topic. She's experienced a lot of her own grief, and she specializes in grief in her practice and trains therapists in grief. And she also understands trauma and early childhood trauma, which is really valuable to me because oftentimes when I'm talking with people who understand the topic that I'm interested in talking to them about, they don't necessarily know about trauma too. So I love how Debbie included that part because, you know, when I'm talking with other therapists, I'm always talking and listening through the lens of trauma and attachment. So in this second part of our interview, we're going to talk more about ways to manage living with grief and how to have perspective about the grieving process and what it's like. I was pretty open about some of the things that have been hard, and she was very kind and helpful in helping me make sense out of those things. And I hope if you're navigating a grief process that this episode will be helpful for you. So next week, we'll be back with a New Year's episode featuring some Trauma Therapist Network members, which I'm super excited to bring to you. And I'll be a little retrospective like I usually do. So until then, I hope you're getting some quiet as we're entering the dark time of the year, but moving toward when the light returns. As always, I appreciate you listening and take care.
I appreciate you giving those examples, and I feel like doing the practice in the session with you, it gives the one who's aggrieved, so to speak, the compassionate holding space and witness to what they feel and what they went through.
Yeah.
And it's not from the person who wronged them or harmed them. And, you know, it seems like we would think, if it doesn't come from them, it doesn't mean anything. But
right.
having it be witnessed and having it be held, it takes away the power of it.
Absolutely.
And it can resolve internally instead yeah. of, you know, yeah. and I feel like so many of us go through literally our whole lives just waiting for the moment when our parents are finally going to be the parent that we needed them to be.
Right.
Or our siblings are going to be, mm-hmm. you know, who we wish they were, or, and it's like your whole life is going by and you're still in this pattern. And I don't say it with judgment because I mm-hmm. can relate to it. You don't even know you're doing it, but it's like you're continuously just reenacting this
yes,
need
yes.
for
is that it's this run-on sentence over and over and over and over again. And
yeah.
and I think and I know when we can do that internal repair, then it's like we put a period at the end of the sentence. It's like, oh wow, you know what? I don't want to rehash that story over and over again, because that's draining. It's exhausting. It's the reason why when people want to, you know, when I have them do some writing about what happened, it's really, really, really structured, because it's way too easy to go into, I want you to know when you did this, I felt you made me feel. And so I'm really, really particular about how we language our emotions, even the you made me feel. It's like, whoop, hold on, wait, I want you to know when this happened, I felt, okay, not you made me feel. So, and again, I will tell people, I don't ever want to put words in your mouth, but what I'm listening for is, what did your heart need to say?
Yeah.
And the empowerment of that. There's also an enormous amount of empowerment in here. Take a look at your side of the street as well. What's the stuff that you're responsible for? And sometimes those are, I'm sorry that I didn't take better care of myself. I'm sorry that I, you know, didn't stand up and set a limit with you. No, it's not, I'm sorry I didn't run fast enough. It's not, I'm sorry that, you know, that I wasn't able to take your beatings. No, but we got to listen for, what do you wish you had been able to do differently? Okay. And there are sometimes that people will talk about, well, but I authorized this procedure that my husband absolutely told me, if it comes down to that, I don't want that. And the griever says, but I had to do that because my two kids were standing right in front of me in the ER and pleading with me. But the look in her husband's eyes when he woke up after it was done haunted her horribly. And so we had to do a whole lot of work of the, you know, I'm sorry for, was it her fault? No, but we got to take a list, you know, listen for, what are people holding on to? What's the stuff that they wish they had been able to do differently? Which is, again, that helplessness. And we know in helplessness, especially with kids, but adults too, is here, I'll just go ahead and take the hit. I'll take the blame. And so instead of intellectually saying, but it wasn't your fault, you know, I can, you know, sit with them and say, you know what? So what is it that you want to apologize? Well, I'm sorry that I didn't move the dresser because, you know, they climbed up on the dresser before they fell out the window. Ah, again, you know, I'm sorry that I didn't fix the window, the screen. You know, which is different than, you know, this is from a parent who was absolutely tortured. And so many people would say, but it wasn't your fault. You didn't know. How could you? No, because it wasn't intellectual, you know, but he needed to say, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I wasn't there below to catch you. And that took us 45 minutes just to do those pieces. Okay. He would think of something. I'd tell him, you know, write it out, say it out loud. And he came back the next week and said, I get it. I always get a little teary when I tell that story. She says, I get it. It wasn't my fault. Wow. Wow. You know, he had beaten himself up so much for that. And he just needed to apologize to her.
Yeah.
So, you know, so much that doesn't get put into words, you know, or said out loud, which is so important of here, I need to make sure that I communicate this to them. Because we're always talking to people who aren't there anymore. We're always talking to people out loud, you know, in our heads or you know, I actually do a lot of talking out loud. I come around the corner, I'm done yakking to myself about something and somebody will look at me and go, oops, you caught me. But we're always having conversations with people who weren't there anymore. And so, you know, listen for what else do we need to say to them? You know, even after I have people who do a whole lot of work and later on they'll come back. And some every once in a while I'll say, so, you know, how's your relationship with your mom? Well, you know, she died. Yes, I remember that. What was the last conversation that you had with them in your head? Is that, you know, that's that continuing bonds. That's that, how do you get to be able to relocate them within yourself in a way that's safe?
Well, that I would love to talk about, because it's like, well, my dad's the most significant person I've lost so far. And sometimes I feel like just like inside, like this really like overwhelming urge to be able to connect with him in some way. And it feels like it's like so intense. It's like I have to, you know, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, I had thought about spirituality in terms of losing loved ones, but it's really intense to go through that, you know, myself. And so I wonder what you would say about that.
I really encourage people to have this conversation. You know, I encourage people. I have somebody who writes to his wife, who died a couple of years ago, and he writes every single day.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll say, I don't know, it's a little monotonous today. Oh, okay. But it's a closing ritual that he does every night now of, you know, well, you know, it's been a long day and I love you and please watch over me. But we've also done a lot of work of his acknowledging how difficult the relationship had been and being able to, I want to say heal that, but I don't tend to use the word healing a whole lot with grief. I don't tend to use the word resolution. I think more of being able to make peace with, here's what I needed to say and how I say it, okay? Is that, you know, I think being able to help people express it in really simplistic terms, you know, because sometimes we'll go into long stories along with what happened. And it's like, wait, I don't want the longer story. Give me what happened and in short periods and what are all the emotions attached to it? And a send off with that. So I'm not sure if I'm making a whole lot of sense right now. We can get to a point where we can have conversations that our internal relationship with them changes. Is that for me, I don't carry the harsh part of my dad anymore. I carry actually the supportive part of him. Okay. And that I can access that support from him in ways that I'm not sure that he actually would have been able to do in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think about people who have died being able to be more fully expressed than they were able to be in life.
Absolutely.
On earth. And
absolutely.
Because people have their limitations that are from their experiences and you know, the things that, like the construct of masculinity and how men are supposed to be. I mean, I know you and I aren't the same age, but how old was your dad when he passed?
He was 78.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was kind of young too, but mine was 84. But yeah, but like the time that they
they grew up in. You know, men just like stoicism was revered. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was seen as a strong
suck
man.
Suck it up.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's what they had to be. So that means they had to suppress so many other aspects of themselves that didn't fit that. And
absolutely.
While that impacted me a lot and impacted you a lot with your dad, it's not really who he was. It was just how he managed to cope in his
exactly.
life.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't think it was any coincidence at all. My dad never even met his mom. She died in childbirth with him.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And his dad got remarried when my dad was 4. And nobody ever talked about my dad's mom. They just didn't go there. Yeah. So my dad learned, we don't talk about people who aren't here anymore. You know, I had a sister who died when I was 7. My parents, she was a newborn. And Jennifer died when she was 4 days old. It was the rubella, the measles epidemic in the mid-60s. And we talked about it briefly when my mom and dad came home from the hospital and tried to explain to me, well, you know, you wouldn't have wanted the doctor to have saved her because she would have been blind and deaf. Well, I have to tell you, I was mad at that doctor for years because I thought, well, I would have taken care of her, all 7-year-old of me.
Mm.
Yeah. My hero became Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan. I became a special ed teacher working with very severely, we call them severely emotionally disturbed kids at that time who were nonverbal that I did a lot of sign language with. And I burnt out of that career within 4 years. And not until so many years later did I realize, oh, because I was trying to internally repair what my whole family had gone through and what I had gone through as a kid. And it didn't work. So I think that we carry those relationships, even with people that we've never physically met, you know, we carry them within us.
Mm-hmm. And then that also kind of illustrates, and I don't know what your whole family dynamic is like, but, you know, it's like there are some kids in the family who just take on
mm-hmm.
the family's emotional life and carry it for the family, and then we become therapists.
Arms raised on that one. Yes. Yes. Yeah. 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 My mom drank her way through the rest of her life very functionally. Okay. It was even more confusing. So my mom was the emotional one. My dad was the stoic one. Yeah. And for the first, you know, few years of grad school, I was convinced that I could fix them.
Thank you so much for everything you're sharing. And I feel like, oh yeah, it is an honor for me to be able to talk with you like this. And so one thing that you were talking about is a send-off. And I was wondering if we can talk more about what you mean with that and also some of the other rituals that people can use. And I will be taking very specific notes on what you say to, because sometimes I kind of feel like I'm trying to figure this out myself, you know?
I have to say, I've learned a lot about rituals, the importance of rituals from Terry Daniel. Terry Daniel is a hospice chaplain who is just brilliant. And so she talks a lot about the power of the physicality of creating a ritual.
I will
have people write letters, and so then afterwards we'll either burn the letter out in a corner of the parking lot outside, or we'll bury them. So, you know, I love that one of the things that Terry talks about is, you know, bury it under a tree. The tree can take it. It's okay. You know, as trees take a lot, and they've got a lot of roots. And so, you know, bury it under the tree. I was at a grief retreat with Bob Niemeyer and a couple of 100 people, by the way. It wasn't just Bob and I. And one of the things that Carolyn Meek had created was creating a tree of representing the whole entire relationship. And so you can, when the assignment was here, draw a tree and all the branches and all the different leaves, you know, some of the positive stuff, some of the negative stuff, right? And I ended up having to go outside and I brought in a literal like big branch because my dad was a gardener. He loved gardening and my brother and I got that from him. And so there I am, you know, this whole branch. But that was really cool because, again, it was very physical. But people who were doing it with different construction paper and tracing paper, and that was really cool. Just this representation of here is real. You know, that's what I love about doing timelines or maps or chutes and ladder, you know, maps of here, that the relationship was real and that representation. So there's a magic paper. There's a paper. Let's see.
The flying wish paper.
Yes. The flying wish paper. I love the flying wish paper. That's a really cool ritual as well. Yeah. Yeah. But most of the time I'll have people read what they want to say to that person. And again, it's not a venting. It's more of a, here, let's make this really simple. What are you sorry for? What do you need to say? I want you to know. Acknowledgement. I don't call it forgiveness because forgiveness is very tainted anyway. And and what's the good stuff? And, you know, how would you want to say goodbye to this conversation, which makes room for the next conversation? You know, sometimes it's a, you know, goodbye for now. You know, some people rip it up. Some people, like I said, they'll shred it or burn it. Okay. But I think acknowledging it, I don't actually really advocate for people to take it home and reread it over and over again, because it won't be true a day from now, okay? Because that was where you were at that time. I will keep people's letters for them if they want. And I have had people who have come back. It's been so awesome and so honoring for me, as I've had kids who have come when they were 4 or 8 years old and are now 18 and 28, that I've kept that for them in my files, and they've been able to come back and go, oh, wow. You know, the kid who didn't have a whole lot of memories about his mom ended up writing a song about, he said, I think this is about my mom. I'm not really sure. I was like, well, here, hold on. Let's take a look at what you had drawn and what you wrote out. And that was so, oh my gosh, that was such an honor. It was so beautiful of being able to help him reconnect himself to her, you know, be able to reconnect so that he could let that relationship grow within him now. Yeah. 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 So, you know, I think rituals are important. You know, we have with holidays, you know, holiday rituals are also really tainted with all these memories and feelings. And so I have a holiday course. It's free. It's on our website, calabasascounseling.com. And so the whole course talks about prepping for the holidays. Now, I specifically have examples, you know, that I use of Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah, that really you can use this all year long for special days that are coming up. And sometimes those special days are days that are anticipated difficult days.
Right.
Today's episode is sponsored by Psychotherapy Networker and PESI. If you're a therapist, be sure to check out the partner page, which is linked in the show notes, where you can get discounted trainings with previous Therapy Chat guests like Courtney Armstrong, Dr. Leslie Korn, Dr. Ariel Schwartz, Dr. Tammy Nelson, Dr. Janina Fisher, Rebecca Case, Dr. Peter Levine, Dr. Lindsay Gibson, Deb Dana, Lori Gottlieb, and many, many others. You'll find the link in the show notes to my partner page with PESI and Psychotherapy Networker, where you can find all these discounted trainings. If you need CEs, this is a great place to go.
Therapists, we've all had that moment. You wake up in the middle of the night. Oh my gosh, did I do my notes? Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore when you use Therapy Notes. Therapy Notes makes it easy to write your notes, get them done quickly, but thoroughly. My group practice has used Therapy Notes for 6 years, and everyone always finds it easy to use. But the best thing is, if you do need help, you can call their customer service number and a person answers the phone. And anytime I've ever had to use it, which is maybe 3 times in the past 6 years, my issue has been resolved easily with a cheerful demeanor in 15 minutes or less. So I highly recommend Therapy Notes. And don't forget, go to therapynotes.com and use promo code CHAT to get 2 free months.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a little story about that.
Tell me.
Okay. So my dad passed away the beginning of November, and I was born on Thanksgiving. And so, but you know, Thanksgiving's not on the same day every year. So he passed. Then my birthday came, and that was hard. And a few days later, it was Thanksgiving. And I was like, well, we didn't, you know, in adulthood, we hadn't spent Thanksgiving together for more than 20 years. So maybe this day will be okay. And I always make the Thanksgiving meal. And so I was feeling like, you know, I'm happy to make the meal, to be with my family. And I know I'm grieving, so I'm going to give myself a break, and I'll try to be sure to, you know, not be hard on myself about having everything be perfect, but also try to give myself enough space to plan it all out and everything. And long story short, one of the dishes got messed up. It got burned on the bottom. Yeah. Yep. And then, and it was a Pyrex.
Offerings in our house.
It was a Pyrex dish that I had. I was reheating on the stovetop, and I noticed that it was burning, and I moved it over and set it on the granite counter, and it exploded.
Yeah.
And I exploded. You know, like I imploded.
Yeah.
I totally
such a representation of what was going on inside.
Yeah. And it was actually my daughter who was like, I don't think this is just about the dressing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, it's not going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. Everything's ruined, you know?
So I'll tell you, I married into this very loud, big Jewish family from my waspy New England family. Small.
And not talking about things.
Exactly. And that you know, they don't do Easter. And so a couple of years after my mom died, my husband and I got married after my mom died. And so, you know, Mark would be like, you know, do you want to do anything for Easter? And I'd be like, no, that's okay. We'd skip Easter. You know, I'll be fine. It's not a big deal. 3:30 in the afternoon, I'd be in a freaking bucket of tears. And so we went through this, like, I think for maybe about 3-4 years afterwards. And finally, one year I was like, okay, well, I think again, we were coming up on Easter again. I was like, no, you know, we don't have to do anything. And I wake up Easter morning and I go into the kitchen and there's this gift basket on the table. There's a Sony Walkman in there. There's some other CDs. There's Bed and Bath stuff. And I loved that. I was like, oh my God, it was just this acknowledgement.
It's like of care.
This day has significance for you, because it wasn't about the resurrection. It was about my memory of the Easter basket that my mom and I would put together, or she would put together for us as kids, and just missing her. And so I have to say, every year after that, Easter morning, I go down to the kitchen and there's Peeps and jelly beans and sometimes M&Ms, and then I'm good, and a bunch of grass. And so it's hysterical. So, but I love just the acknowledgement, You know, I know when I've had days, I was off one day, just off, that I couldn't figure out what was off. It was September 10th and it was just off. It was until that night when I drove up in my driveway, I went, oh, it was grandma's birthday. Now, grandma's birthday was never on my radar, but our system never forgets. Yeah. We don't always have conscious access to retrieving memories and stories, but you know, that happens a lot with holidays, especially coming up. If you look at what's called involuntary autobiographical memories, IAMs, I-A-M, is those involuntary autobiographical memories are just memories that just pop up out of nowhere. Usually it tends to be, there was a study that was done, tends to be when we're doing activities that we wouldn't really think about, like, you know, going for a walk or being in the shower or driving. And in the study that was done, it's in the example of it, is in the course that I have for holidays. They had said, oh, the average is, I think, 4 to 5 of those a day for people. I'm like, oh, no, not for grievers. Oh, no. Those are far more frequent, and especially right before a significant date coming up, you know, we are hyper-focused on what we're missing in our life. And so when somebody has had a pregnancy loss, they will find every single pregnant person that there is out there. And not that they weren't there before, but they just notice them differently. And mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with the holidays, is that, you know, there's so many triggers. So if we look at all of our senses, so if we, you know, what are we hearing? You know, Christmas music. We purposely actually don't do any Christmas music in our offices during the holiday. We want to be able to have a place where people can come and they don't have to listen to that.
Yeah, just neutral.
Right. And, you know, look visually. You know, you can't go into a grocery store without seeing decorations starting before Halloween. So there's so many, you know, what we smell, okay, and what we taste and what we feel. And so all of those are all highlighted in holiday rituals. You know, the smell of the cinnamon, the, you know, taste of, I don't know why I want to say rhubarb pie, because my grandma used to make.
Or candy canes.
Right. Yeah. So all of those are activating in ways a lot of times we don't even realize that we're taking in all of our senses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so being aware of that, also, I think doing that planning beforehand of, we really talk about, okay, you've got an anniversary coming up. It's in, you know, it gets triggered often in the month. It's like, oh, it's the month of December, or it's the month of November, of, oh, can we just get, you know, to January 2nd and just be done? Or, you know, or, oh, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day and they're like, I hate July. July totally sucks because it reminds me of da 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 da. And so what do you want to do? How do you want to honor that person or persons that aren't here anymore? How do you want to honor yourself? Okay. But I always advocate, do something. Okay. Is whatever that is, do something so that it's not just, oh, I'm just going to ignore it because 3:30 in the afternoon, it'll kick you in the ass. No.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, it's weird. It's like, you know, the state is coming. It's weird for me because I really, as a therapist, I could tell you probably for most of my clients what week or date would be triggering because I know their stories. But, and for myself, the best I've been able to do with this situation is to be like, I know the holidays are going to be hard. I know my birthday, his birthday, which is also in December, mm-hmm. you know, so there were like 4 or 5 important dates
yeah.
since he passed. And, you know, it just feels like for me, it's happening. It's all just coming too fast and there's not enough time to like catch up. But
yeah. Well, that's also why I recommend to people is, if you're going to do something, do little stuff, really little stuff, not like this major, huge, big trip somewhere, is go light a candle in the morning, you know,
yeah.
or, you know, And maybe you, you know, get out a special poem or a song. You know, maybe you go out for a little walk. Maybe you just go outside and just go breathe and just say, hi, I'm thinking of you today. I usually like to advocate that of do that earlier in the day so that your system isn't like, it's so that it's been acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know, that's also the whole thing with, you know, I want you to know when you said this, I said that, is because that's that here. Not only do we need to acknowledge it to the other person indirectly, but mostly we need to acknowledge it to ourselves. And our system knows that.
Yeah.
I love the writing because, you know, sometimes I think of that as a grocery list. It's like if I go into the store and I don't have anything written out, then I'm going to be all over the place. But if I know that's okay, I already put it on my list, then my brain doesn't have to keep holding on to it. It's like, it's okay. It's been recorded.
Yeah. Well, I'll say one thing that's been helping me is I've been doing yoga every morning, and it's, you know, it's just like, it's a way to move my body.
Yeah.
And also to give myself time and space to be intentional. And every day that I've been doing that, I felt, you know, however I felt when I started, and by the time I was done, I just felt like, okay, you know, kind of back to center.
Yeah.
So that I'm thinking about that, you know, it feels like I need to do it in the morning. Like, you know, oftentimes when we're trying to just incorporate more exercise, it's like, well, sometime in the day I'll be sure to do whatever. But I'm like, no, I have to do this in the morning if I'm going to keep being able to do my day.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah. You know, I know when I do that, it's like, oh, okay, that grounds me. So again, yeah. I'm not even unconsciously preoccupied.
Right.
Yeah.
And it can sneak up on you, that unconscious being preoccupied with it. Well, Debbie, this has been so helpful, and
oh, good.
I wasn't really expecting to cry as much as I did, but that's how it was. I shouldn't be surprised, but so you've mentioned your counseling website, and I'll be sure to put that in the show notes, but you also have a grief training website. Can you tell us what that is?
So that's privatepracticegrief.com. And I've been doing trainings for, 25 years now. And yeah, I have individual courses. I have courses on suicide loss, another one on overdose and substance abuse related loss, you know, pregnancy loss. There's so many different types of losses. I have one that's a basic loss as well, a basic kind of here's the basics and foundations and take a look at different theories and yeah. So anyway, my courses are also self-paced, and then I run consultation groups as well. But the self-pace, I found an awesome interactive platform that actually makes the course much more engaging and user-friendly.
Wonderful.
Oh, and I'm a CE provider as well.
A CE provider, yes. And the privatepracticegrief.com courses are for therapists.
Are for therapists, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And the holiday course at Calabasas Counseling is for anybody.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So I'll link to those all in the show notes. And just thank you so much for sharing some of your time with me today for the benefit of myself and everyone who will be listening. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com.
Trauma therapists, if you've been waiting for the right time to join Trauma Therapist Network membership, this is it. Between now and the end of 2024, you can save up to 50% off of your first month of membership when you submit your application at traumatherapistnetwork.com. Join us for live calls every week. Self-care, case consultation, networking, and training are included every month. We have 4 live calls, and we have 3 tiers of membership. If the live calls don't fit your schedule, you can join the Inner Circle, where you can access the library of recordings, or you can do the Listing Plus membership. All the details are at traumatherapistnetwork.com. Hope to see you in the community. Submit your application at traumatherapistnetwork.com today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.